Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
There's lots of talk about cybersecurity at the moment, the importance thereof. A few weeks ago, the whole world seemed to grind to a halt as we had this CrowdStrike issue, a big US company that got itself into trouble. That's still being looked at and investigated. One of the airlines, Delta Airlines, is actually suing that company. So a lot of this is very front of mind, but it usually has been delegated to the IT department. It's all your fault when it goes wrong, and you don't really get much acclaim when it goes right. But that is now spreading. And a new directive, the heads of Bill, which are before the Dáil at the moment, is looking at making potentially CEOs and board directors themselves liable. This is the new Network and Information Systems Directive, or NIS2. And before this, as I said, this was very much confined to the IT department, but it's now spreading its tentacles further. And here to talk to me about the implications of this are Puneet Kukreja, who is the head of UK and Ireland cybersecurity leader. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming in.
Good morning, Dublin.
Yes, indeed. Now, listen, we've been hearing about this cybersecurity issue for quite a few years. Up until now, it has been, I suppose, isolated off in the IT department. Talk to me a little bit about this new directive, which is in front of our parliament at the moment, which has very widespread implications for certain people and leaders if things go wrong.
Absolutely. So the key point to note here is the extent of this. NIS2 that comes into force in October actually covers in excess of 3,000 organizations within Ireland. It's existed as NIS1, where there were only 120 what we call essential organizations. So essential means your health services, your energy services, your financial services. The new impact, or the extended impact now, is across 3,200 style entities, as I talked about. It takes into account food business. It takes into account the transport business. Any organization that has societal impact or is within the supply chain of essential services is now within scope. What's also important is that the emphasis is moving out of technology and into the boardroom, as we talked about. With that, it makes the executives now accountable. And what's different is this has teeth. There are, like GDPR, fines that can be and will be imposed on organizations that are found to be wanting. And those fines for large organizations are 2% of annual revenue if you are considered an essential organization, up to 10 million. If you're an important organization within the supply chain, it is 1.4 or up to 7 million.
Do you know, are state-owned companies caught in the net as well as private companies?
Private companies, yes, state-owned do have an obligation to comply and be aligned to NIS2 should there be an essential service or an important service.
Now, Puneet, you mentioned there being found wanting was the phrase you used. Can you just sketch that out a bit more for us? What exactly do these leaders, let's just leave it that way, What do they have to do or avoid not doing? Or just tell me where they might be seen to fall down.
So if we talk about cyber, so if we talk about technology, the way it's been evolving, and you talked about CrowdStrike just earlier, you talked about concentration with Microsoft, technology has been evolving. With that, cyber is woven into technology and into the digital fabric. And often cyber or security has been considered, if I have a policy, if I have a firewall, I'm secure. The conversation has evolved over the last few years to simply say, can our board members and our leaders answer a question, which is, am I secure, but am I secure enough? Will I be able to give a simple response to, am I secure enough, if I am found wanting at the end of a cyber breach? Will I know enough questions to ask?
And will it be things like, did I have the right systems? Did we put enough money, investment in? Are these the things you need to demonstrate?
Well, it's all of that, but it's also looking at the issue with an assumed breach mindset. Because if you are all about ticking a box on compliance, you would say, I have a policy, I have a firewall, I have some basic controls, I should be okay. But if you go in and apply the assumed breach mindset, You won't be talking about a policy. You will ask the question.
Can I not just say the IT person was in charge of all that? We employed the best people and we presume they do a good job.
From a responsibility perspective, yes, but from an accountability, it sits with the leadership, it sits with the board. And with an assumed breach mindset, the questions that the board members need to be asking is, what is my response plan? Do I have an incident response plan in place? Do I have a business continuity plan in place? Do I know what my extended network, my third parties, my fourth parties look like? Are they secure? Do I understand that in the event of a breach, do I have extended third-party support that will be able to help my organization with stretch capability?
The problem you'll have, I suppose, is board directors who often have a lot of different competencies behind them. IT may not be one of them. They might say, how can I verify that our IT strategy and our plan is properly roadworthy? I just don't have the technical knowledge and expertise to verify that. Is that a problem?
Well, the answer is that the NCSC has published a full set of directive, a full set of controls, and as recently as 3 weeks ago, they've also published the cyber emergency plan. So there is knowledge out there, there are controls out there. This needs to be looked upon as a program of work where board directors and senior leaders ask the right questions and the verification, as you call, and the governance of this and the oversight of this does need to focus on what controls and measures are in place to ensure that I have a resilient business. In the event of an incident, not only how quickly would I recover, but what measures do I have in place today to ensure that business continues?
And because, do you have any idea, Puneet, who implements this or who will be kind of standing behind this directive? Is it a government department? Is it the police? Is it some kind of IT agency? Like, who will be going in if there is a big breach to say, this person didn't do this, this other person didn't do that? Who's behind this directive? I know, obviously, this is up to the companies to adhere to it, but where's the sanction and the enforcement?
So the NCSC is the guiding body within the country. Within the directive, a number of additional regulatory bodies, which will be industry specific, are also being set up as we go along. So the governance models, the end-to-end enforcement sits with the NCSC, but that will be then be delegated out to the multiple sectors, and new regulatory bodies will be created.
Okay, listen, what could go wrong with all these different regulatory bodies? But listen, it's here. People need to take it seriously, and you very well explained the implications, so nobody can say they weren't warned. Who's listened to this program this morning? Puneet Cook-Raja, thank you very much. He is the EY UK and Ireland cybersecurity leader.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.